Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, let's get into some NFL here as week six gets going tonight. Get to John Clayton in a second here. Hey, log on to theticketmiami.com right now for your chance to win a 52-inch TV to watch all the football you want. That's right. Pride AC is proud to have served South Florida for over 44 years. Visit prideac.com to get a free quote on a new AC or home service plan. John Clayton joins us every Thursday at this time. You can text in your questions for the professor on the NunezLaw.com text line 67974. It's brought to us by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 800-747-FREE. That's 800-747-3733. That's how John Clayton joins us every Thursday. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
So let's start out with the Dolphins. I got to tell you, for my money, I can't remember a team being 3-2 and being as down on them as I am right now on the Dolphins. What do you think?
I think it's merited. I mean, things are kind of slipping very quickly. You saw the three wins, and you thought there was some encouragement there, and the numbers didn't really match the three wins, but three wins are three wins. So right now, the team's starting to go south.
Well, so what do we make about what the Patriots then did the following week? Okay, so the Patriots, they win again. They score a ton of points. So, you know, was it all about the Dolphins being terrible, or most so, hey, the Patriots, they're still, king of the AFC?
Yeah, they're still king of the AFC. I mean, I think you write off the Patriot game because, again, you've seen this so many times, maybe not to that degree of how bad the one-sided game was, but the Patriots are starting to trend back. But I think what you have to look at now is that what is going to get this franchise out of that kind of 8-8 look? That's the thing that I think is got to be the big concern. And I mean, you look and you see just things that just don't look right now.
Does Adam Gase deserve? I mean, this is year number three, and His MO is supposed to be the offense, and the offense has been struggling the last couple of weeks, especially on the road. His offense is not the same as it is when it's at home, and if he's been tasked with fixing this offense and fixing Ryan Tannehill, how much blame does Adam Gase deserve here?
Well, I mean, as always, it's always going to go to the coach. That's just part of the equation. That's the way it is in the National Football League, and for the most part, that's probably unfair because I think there are too many coaching changes in this league, because the problem is when you're averaging seven coaching changes a year, are there seven quality replacements to come in there and do a good job? That's where I think the league gets itself in trouble, but it's been a consistent thing really since 1992. But that's the reality of the National Football League. If things are going in the wrong direction, it usually goes back to the coach, and usually when you get to the third year and things are not moving forward, then usually an owner starts to move ahead and goes different direction.
So, John, this is the game that an offensive coordinator nightmare starts. You're going against Khalil Mack, and your tackle is basically in concussion protocol. He doesn't know if he's going to be playing. You have no answer for him. What can Adam Gase do in order to try to stall? Because we all know he's not going to stop Khalil Mack.
Yeah, I mean, I think what he has to do is scheme-wise just try to find ways to get rid of the ball quickly, probably shorten some of the passes, try to definitely see if they can get a running game going. I just watched that in week two when Seattle went there, and they're still trying to figure their offensive line out, and it became tough because Mack is playing the best defensive football in the league, and that's a defense that was ranked 10th in the league without Mack last year, and it's that much better with Mack. And you can see that that team on defense is getting better because they've got two linebackers that are improving. Leonard Floyd has been playing with a cast, and now he's starting to get a little bit better. And then Roquan Smith still can be overpowered. I mean, he's a guy that you can kind of run over, but he's getting better and better. And so they got five number one draft choices. And so you have to understand now they're better athletically than the Bears have been in years. And so what you have to try to do is get a running game going and try to get rid of the ball quickly, because if not, you're going to have a quarterback with his back on the ground.
We got Sean Clayton here with us. If you want to get your questions in, the easiest way is on the NunezLaw.com text line at 67974, and we'll get to your questions coming up in a few minutes. Let's talk about what happened in Dallas this weekend, okay? For the second week in a row, you know, it was Frank Reich 2 weeks ago. This past weekend, you had coaches with questionable decisions in overtime. This time around, it was the coach not being aggressive enough. Frank Reich was maybe too aggressive. Jason Garrett was not aggressive enough. So the situation here in Dallas with Jerry Jones, Jason Garrett, give me some thoughts there on how this is going to go the next few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty evident that when you're on the 43-yard line at Houston in overtime, you might as well try for the fourth and one, and he didn't. Jerry Jones then, you know, kind of the riverboat gambler that he could be, you know, then came back and said that he would have tried to go for it. But I don't. The one thing is where everybody in Dallas wants to run him out of town. They want to run Scott Linehan, the offensive coordinator, out of town. Jerry Jones still likes Jason Garrett and will stand by him probably as much as any owner in the league. But you can look, the offense is underachieving like mad. Now, part of it, you have to blame on Jerry Jones. Does he get enough good wide receivers? I mean, last year it was pretty bad, and I know that Jerry kind of backed that up when he said that they haven't had a number one receiver in years, and that, of course, takes a shot at Dez Bryant. But Dez Bryant wasn't getting separation from cornerbacks, and this group isn't getting separation from cornerbacks. They just don't have enough speed and playmaking ability. And so consequently, and particularly with Jason Witten retired, you know, they just don't have a lot of a passing offense. And Dak Prescott is suffering because of that. Jason Garrett's suffering because of that. So it's kind of a combination of between the two. You got a coach right now that the fans aren't happy with, and then you've got an owner who really didn't get him enough talent on offense.
How much of Jerry Jones liking the coach has to do with him actually liking the coach and having to do with him being able to control this coach?
Well, I mean, that's part of it, is because you know, he can control this coach. I mean, Jerry is the general manager. He's the one that makes the decision on personnel. I know Steven can talk him into some things in different years and different times and all that stuff. But, I mean, it's Jerry's team, and Jerry likes a coach that is going to, you know, totally support everything he does and try to make the best out of the situation. But here's the bad part about what's happening overall, is that they're wasting a great time, because this is the time when you have a quarterback making $600,000 a year that you want to add to the roster and try to bulk it up. Because if you get to the point where you have to pay $25 to $26 million for Dak Prescott, now you're not going to be able to add. And they have not added. I mean, they've got a very young defense. They've chased away most of their high-priced defensive guys. I mean, you look on offense, yeah, they're paying the offensive line, and they're paying some stuff to others. But you know, it's all going to be gobbled up when they have to pay Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott. And so they're really wasting a golden time right now.
All right, I want to get to some more Dolphin stuff. Dolphins and Bears, of course, this weekend. We can take your questions. Text line's the easiest way to get through with John Clayton on the NunezLaw.com text line at 67974. Also get some thoughts from John on what's going on in New York. The Giants, of course, they play tonight. They take on the Eagles to get Week 6 going. We'll put you on hold here, all right, John?
All right, sounds good.
All right, hang on. So John Clayton, again, joins us every Thursday at this time. We'll start to look ahead to tonight's game, Philadelphia and New York, with John Clayton. That's next. Every Thursday at this time, John Clayton joins us, sponsored by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 800-747-FREE. That's 800-747-3733. Tonight you got Week 6 getting started. You got Giants and Eagles. John, this is an elimination game, right? You got the Eagles who are 2-3. You got the Giants who are 1-4. One of these teams are done after tonight, right?
I don't know about that, because, I mean, you look in the NFC, there's only four teams with winning records. And you look at the division right now, the NFC East is probably the worst in football, because they just don't have much as far as winning teams. And so, you know, this is a year, I think, that particularly with the good quarterback play in the NFC, you know, 14 of the top 20 quarterbacks in the NFC, I think they're all going to beat each other up to a point where you may have a 9-win division winner. I think that could end up happening. And so at least it keeps everybody in the mix. If there's one team that could be eliminated, it could be the Giants, because if they're sitting there 1-5, it's really going to be hard to come back, because you got a lot of people questioning Eli Manning, a lot of people looking at Odell Beckham Jr., waiting for him to blow up again, which he started to do last week. So, yeah, I think that it's one where this is a bad it's an interesting conference right now, but everybody's still pretty much in it.
John, not an indictment of Saquon Barkley at all, but did the Giants make a mistake not selecting a quarterback?
I think so. I think that, and again, maybe that's because I'm such a big believer in Sam Darnold. I think he was still, I mean, Baker Mayfield's doing great, and I thought he would do great, but I still think in the long run, Darnold was going to be the better quarterback, and by passing on Darnold, now that probably puts the Giants in a position where they've got to probably look at the Oregon quarterback next year, because, I mean, you look at Eli, and, you know, he's getting the ball short. It's, you know, Beckham's complaining a little bit about the fact that, you know, he's not getting the plays downfield that he wants, and he had to kind of apologize for those comments. And in the end, I think that they made a mistake. They should have gone for Sam Darnold.
What is Pat Shurmur supposed to do with the Odell Beckham situation? Because, yes, Odell Beckham, everything he's saying is right. Okay, he's been propping up Eli Manning for a couple of years now. But you got a Super Bowl, a two-time Super Bowl quarterback there. What's the organization going to do with Eli Manning at this point?
Well, I mean, right now they're standing by him. They stood by him all through last year, and certainly when the head coach last year benched him in a ridiculous way, because, again, last year Eli didn't have any receivers. Now you look, and he does have talent. I mean, I know that Evan Ingram's not going to play for the second straight game, and he's a really good tight end, but, I mean, Barkley's a very talented running back, one of the most talented to come into the league in the last several years, but it's just not working, and it's all pointing to Eli. And so I would have to think if they go down the path that they're looking at right now, they've got to make a change next year with Eli.
Would you say that they might be making a trade in season, or are they going to ride him out till the end of the year?
No, I think they'll ride him out till the end of the year. That's the way the organization is. I mean, the Mara family is one, and the Tisch family, that they don't like to make drastic changes. They like to stand by the people that they've stood by for so many years that have done well by him. So there's not really a good option. Even though they've made a couple of draft choices to try to, get backups. I mean, they just have to kind of ride it out, and looks like it's going to be a bad storm.
Are we going to look back at Ben McAdoo benching Eli Manning and say that he was right?
No, because they didn't have an option to really get anybody to come in to replace him. I mean, that's why if it's going to be a mistake, the mistake was not drafting Sam Darnold, because, Darnold, he's been up and down with the Jets, but he does have two wins. And you just look at that talent, the leadership he has, and it's going to rub everybody wrong. It all happened in New York City because he's over on the other team.
We're going to get to your text in a second here on the NunezLaw.com text line at 67974. John, where does Drew Brees rank all time with the quarterbacks?
It's funny because as great as he is, and you look at the numbers he's ultimately going to put, because I still think he's going to play two or three more years. I mean, he's going to have that big distance on everybody else. But I think it's going to be hard for him to crack the top 10. Because I know a couple of years ago when I did, the all-time quarterback list, I got Aaron Rodgers on it, and now he's moving up and probably about 9 or 8. But when you start to look at the great quarterbacks, the numbers are certainly there for Drew Brees. You know he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he's probably somewhere between 10 and 16.
I'm sorry. We're going to read some text questions here?
Yeah.
Okay, hang on 1 second. Where does Marino rank there, John?
I think I have him like fifth or sixth, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Okay. All right. He should be one, but okay. All right. You know more than I do, but that's okay. All right. Go ahead. Rombert, go ahead.
I was going to say, sticking with the Saints theme, what's the situation with Kamara's usage and his performance going forward? Should they be concerned with the amount of touches he's having?
No, I think that they'll pick that up. I think they'll work it around. I mean, Ingram came back and got 73 yards or so in his first game back, and they're doing such a good job of passing the football that they try to get Kamara both on the run and the pass. But I think he only had 9 carries. So I think that now that everybody has brought it to the attention of Sean Payton, they'll probably adjust that because you know how good he was last year. Now they have the combination of the two running backs, and now I think they'll just work through that, and I think Kamara's numbers are going to come back up.
So after the 5-minute pause with Le'Veon Bell conversation, I want to get back into it. Do you think that the Eagles are going to trade for him?
I think they're going to try to. Now, if they have to come up with the right package, because the Steelers do need him, and so I don't know if the price is going to be a second-round pick or something else, but at least they've now cleared up enough cap room where they can fit him in, whether it's going to be him or LeSean McCoy. And I can't imagine Buffalo trading LeSean McCoy. I mean, what do they have? I mean, you're going to go with Travis Kadet? I mean, that team has given away so much talent. I don't think they can afford, particularly with a young quarterback like Josh Allen, to take McCoy away. But in the end, he'll come in, I guess, now next week and start to get closer to the trade deadline. But at least you know that the Eagles are going to try.
If you had to pick which one has a better chance of getting to the Super Bowl, the Rams or the Chiefs?
I say the Rams because the Rams have the better defense. But both right now, if you look at it, both teams have a great chance of going to the Super Bowl because they're the best two teams in football. I mean, Patrick Mahomes has been absolutely unbelievable as far as how good he is and how good he is in the Andy Reid offense. But still, you look at that defense and you have to be concerned. I mean, now Justin Houston's hurt. They still don't have Eric Berry. I don't know how much better that defense is going to be. That would be their only downfall because offensively they're fantastic. And I know that the Rams have given up 62 points in the last 2 weeks, and they do have some leakage right now in the secondary. But talent-wise, they've got a much better defense than the Chiefs. So they're right now the best two teams in football.
Lions fans are wondering if the offensive line is legit up there with Johnson carrying the football, or are they going to revert back to the same old lines?
You still think that they'll revert a little bit back to the same old lines because, you know, one injury here or there. And again, one of the things I noticed, you know, you get an injury, and you've watched two now with the Miami Dolphins. There's hardly any replacement for injured offensive linemen right now.
It's remarkable.
It's about as thin for backup offensive linemen as I've ever seen, and that's what I worry about with the Lions. One or two injuries on the line, and all of a sudden they start to revert back to the lack of the running game.
Where are you this weekend, John?
I am going to London today, believe it or not.
Whoa, you're flying out today?
Yeah, flying out today to London, so I'm not going to get any sleep, but Oakland going against the Seattle Seahawks in London at Wembley Stadium.
How long a flight is that from Seattle?
I leave at 12:25 West Coast time, and I land in London because I have to go through Houston. I land in London at 11:30 Friday.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man, it takes a whole day to get there.
Pretty much a whole day to get out there. You know, I know that the Seahawks, they left at about 8 o'clock last night. I think they get in sometime this morning, whatever time it is. Raiders are leaving today. They get in Friday, but that is a long trip.
What do you do to pass time? Are you a movie guy, like on your laptop? What do you do?
Well, I try to sleep, but I can't sleep on planes. And so, you know, I just take out my work stuff and start to study it as best I can. But I'm hoping I can find some. I'm actually going to take a pillow just because I got to try to get some sleep.
Oh, I thought you were going to say pill. I was going to go ahead and...
No, pillow. Pillow.
Oh, okay, now, you're not the middle seat, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, John, you got to double check.
God.
All right, you got to double check. You can't be the middle seat. I mean, because you're not the type, like, you wouldn't say the person next to you, hey, can I lean up against your shoulder? Like, you're not going to do that.
No, I would not do that. I try to give everybody their space.
Yeah.
Are you the guy that walks through the airport with the whole neck pillow thing going on?
No, I did that one time, but with the neck, usually what happens after about five trips, I lose the neck pillow. But one of the things, at least with the neck pillow, you can it has a way you can at least wrap it around whatever carry-on you have.
Yeah,
true.
Well, John, safe trip. Enjoy London, all right?
I will try.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. That's John Clayton right there, who again is brought to us every week by Anajar and Levine, Accident Attorneys, 800-747-3733. I'll tell you, man, if I was flying with someone who was wearing that, who then put on that neck pillow and we're walking through terminals with the neck pillow, I'm like, yo, you are like.
Ain't walking with him anymore?
No. Take that off. All right. Can't walk around with the person with the neck pillow wearing it through the terminal.
Carl Anthony Towns wears a neck pillow.
Get that. Yeah. Carl Anthony Towns wears a neck pillow through the airport. He wears it when he gets on the bus, off the bus, through the airport. All that. He doesn't even take it off when they walk through the security checkpoint. He's wearing it through the x-ray machine. Because Jimmy Butler sunned him. He's Jimmy Butler's son. He's going to look great in a Heat uniform, Jimmy Butler. Today. This afternoon.
Oi!
Alright, do you think he'll be in the lineup tomorrow night? Will he get him in the lineup tomorrow?
It is supposed to be the dress rehearsal. I heard Eric Reed say that.
Alright. Good job, Romberg. Lebatard show next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.